to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Madam Clerk, you want to swear in the officers?
Diane, so I can swear you in. Diane? Do you swear or affirm that the evidence you will give today will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Thank you.
Okay, do we have previous minutes I need to approve?
Yes.
Okay, all right, I'll approve the minutes. And then I guess we'll turn over to you, Mr. Rich, with order of business.
Thank you. Good morning, Your Honor. Chip Rich, City of Ocala Code Enforcement Division. I'm duly appointed Code Enforcement Manager for City of Ocala. I've received training certified by the Florida Association of Code Enforcement. And I'll be presenting cases this morning. If it pleases the magistrate, we would start with a case that we have some representation here for this morning.
Certainly.
That's COM 11-1319, a case involving Officer Dan Baker of the City of Ocala Code Enforcement Division versus Central Florida Boxing, 1032 Southwest 1st Avenue, Ocala, Marion County, Florida. A violation of Section 6261 Levy, 6262 Tax Certificate Required, 6266 Delinquency, Penalties for Engaging in Business Without Certificate, and 6278 Tax Constitutes Debt to the City. Violation is a parcel 2856600-03. Legal service was obtained 6-1-2011 for the NOV and 6-17-2011 for the notice of hearing. We posted the property on 6-17-2011. We've included as additional correspondence a copy of SunBiz report and a copy of the utilities report. And any license required would be a business tax certificate. The summary of findings that Officer Dan Baker received this complaint from the one-stop permitting section of the city, advising this business is operating without the required business tax certificate. Officer Baker responded to the business location, observed they're still in business at that location, and left word for them to contact him concerning the incident. All attempts by Officer Baker to have the respondents remedy this violation have been unsuccessful, and the violation remains. I've included in your presentation some copies or some photographs that were taken by Officer Baker. I've also included a copy of their most current utilities bill. It shows they are still on and still utilizing that account. We also have a copy of the Central Florida Boxing by the Florida Department of Corporations, which you'll notice has expired, was not renewed in May. As required by the state of Florida. Okay. The city here has a staff recommendation, but we do have some representation from CLD Properties. I would point out that this case is not against CLD Properties, and any lien arising out will attach simply to the Central Florida Boxing. However, because this does involve their property, we are required to notice them of this hearing. So if you'd like to hear from that person
sure.
Now.
Sure, certainly.
Good morning, Mr. Dobbins.
Good
Tracy
morning.
Rains, 101 Northeast 16th Avenue, beautiful Ocala.
Okay.
Do you swear or affirm that the evidence you give today will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you.
No.
Okay. I'm happy to hear whatever you'd like to address relative to the matter.
Well, I don't know a whole lot. I do know the owner of the gym is... He has been out of town for quite some time training for a fight, which is set for tomorrow. He is a professional boxer. Okay. He has people kind of operating the gym, but I don't know what authority he gives them to,
right.
You know, and evidently nobody's here representing him, and he's in Las Vegas with his, for lack of better words, entourage.
Great. And I gather you lease the property to him and he runs a gym out of it?
Yes, sir. We have a oral agreement. Never have had a written agreement.
Okay. But it's an operating to the public, open to the public
yes,
gym
sir.
Sort of activity. Okay. Okay. Well, as Mr. Rich said, any fine the city is seeking is not, they're not seeking attachment to the underlying real property that you own. They're just seeking to assess a fine against his business, which the city will then go try and collect however they can against his business here today. But So I'm inclined to hear the city's recommendation and adopt the same. And then if when he's back from Las Vegas, maybe if you give him the heads up, he'll come in and see if he can work something out with the city as far as all that goes.
I will do that.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you, sir.
City's recommendation would be to find a respondent guilty of violating City Code Section 6261, 6262, 6266, and 6278. Order to 1, pay all delinquent business tax due $312.50 to the city at the one-stop permit center of the city of Ocala. And 2, pay the administrative cost of prosecution of the case as assessed within 10 days, failing which all costs and fines are assessed as a lien against the company. After 90 days of non-payment, refer the city attorney's office for consideration of foreclosure on the lien.
Okay, I'll adopt the city's recommendation.
Moving along in the agenda, we have a petition. If I could get you to go into that section of your presentations.
Okay.
This petition is for, let me just get the case here. I'm sorry, Delaney. The petition is a request for time extension, CUM 10-1871, a case involving Officer Lorraine Kennedy. However, I don't believe this was originally your case, was it, Lorraine?
No, it wasn't.
Right. This is a case involving a property where the city secured a findings of fact and order, which I have included in your presentation. The findings of fact were to find a respondent guilty of violating code section 3495, 82181, and 82182 to cut and clean up the property, properly removing all junk and debris, and secure the building within 14 days. I can report that that has been accomplished.
Okay.
However, number 2, respondent to obtain a permit within 60 days to bring the residents up to all current Florida building code within 180 days, or obtain a permit to demolish the structure within 60 days with all demolition and cleanup of the debris to be completed within 90 days. Has not been completed. They have paid the administrative cost and there is a fine running at this time.
Okay.
If we could go to the structural evaluation, the property was extremely deficient and considered dilapidated by the building official, showing deficiencies in all systems of the house. The structure, the electric, the plumbing are in need of major repair and replacement. The house is contributing to slum blight in the community and falls under section 82181 and 82182. I would point out that some of the evidence that the building official found there was that there was a notable deflection in the frame members of the multitude of patches and on the shingle roof, and that the rotted frame members, especially the band joists, which of course is a very important part of the structure, were exposed to wood rot and evidence of termite damage. The evidence of fire damage on the west side and rear of the fascia board, extent of the damage is unknown because we did not gain entry into the residence at that time. But the house was considered dilapidated. They've come with the petition and
okay.
The city is willing to make some reasonable accommodation in light of the fact that they took care of the 3495 violation and they have secured the house, which we do have a current photograph of in our case file. They put wood over the doors, what have you.
Okay.
But it's the city's position, and we could certainly allow them to speak to this at their turn here. But the city's position is that without their involvement of a GC in this case, a general contractor, I don't think that they are capable of making what's probably the best decision for this house, whether it be repaired or remodeled, in light of what the building official has told. And we don't exactly know that answer either. We felt that they should have gotten someone involved that could better educate all of us on this matter, and they've had time to do that and have not done that, regardless of whether or not the house has been turned over to them by the probate court or not. We would have liked to have seen a little more done there in that regard. I think that if GC gets involved, a rational decision process would may be that the house may not be able to be saved based upon the structural evaluation and the information that we've received. But we would let them speak to that.
Sure.
We of course have problems in this area, and we are working in this area to try to bring down structures that are not compliant with the state's building code. And like I said, I guess our position would be that we would support some reasonable time frame, but we would really like to get a professional involved here.
Okay.
Keeping in mind, in fact, the city already has an order.
Sure. Well, which is this order that it should, something should have happened by my calculations, the 18th of July.
Yes, sir. July.
About 10 days ago.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Okay. Whoever like to come speak.
Do you all want to select one person to speak here? Do you all three of you want to do
that? I'm just a relative.
Yeah. Okay.
I'm a bill of contact.
Okay, very good.
We'll
take you all and get your
concern about that home.
Okay, if just a half second, I can have each of you state your name and address for the record, and the clerk will swear you in, and then I can hear whatever
okay,
you want to do.
Okay, what do you want to do?
Okay, if you could just state your name. And
my name is Irving Gordon, and my address, P.O. Box 243, Central Florida. And you need any of that information?
No, that'll do it. And Carol, if you can swear him in.
Please raise your right hand. Do you swear or affirm that the evidence you give today will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
And first of all, I'll say good morning to you. I'd like to speak. Okay.
Good morning.
Good morning, sir.
Okay. Well, I'm here to hear whatever you would like me to know. And I might have a question or two. I've taken a moment to read before the hearing started today, the petition. So, open to whatever you would like to tell me about the situation.
So I just heard the report that the gentleman made a statement he gave out about that house, and I do know that these my relatives, their mothers, very sick during the time that they come out and check the home, and she found it passed, and so. They talked with me about it. The home was in her mother's name, and therefore she willed out to the children, and they're trying to get the name changed over where they can go down and pull a permit to try to upgrade that house, you see. But I'd like to get a copy of whatever the city picked up on the home and see are it in condition that it need to be torn down or could it be repaired, you see? And so those are the things that I would like the court to consider that, give me time to go out there and look at the home and see what could be did with it, you see? And I will, if the home could be remodeled, then I will bring it up to the court because I have had problems like this down in Pompano with people that they have had that same problem. So I have went down and bailed them out, and the fine that the code had, they made a great adjustment on the fine because of I did the job real fast, you see.
Okay.
Got it out of the way.
And you're a contractor? Okay. Are you currently licensed?
I'm a retired contractor.
Okay. All right. Have you got your contractor's license active now, or?
I'm not paying insurance or not because, but
okay.
I could bring it back up.
Okay. Okay. But you were, how long were you a contractor for?
40 some odd.
Okay.
Long
okay.
Time. Too long.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
I could prove. I got did a lot of billing here for Marion County School Board, too. I did a tremendous amount of billing for them here in Ocala. And all overseas, I did billing overseas, too. So.
Okay.
Over around Brazil, Dominican Republic, around Domingo, places like that. I've been out there.
Okay.
I'm real old.
Okay. Certainly, yeah.
Sir, what kind of a building contractor were you?
Well, I was commercial and residential.
For structures?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, overall building, I've been into all of it, you know, from pushing trees to finishing. Yeah.
And have you looked at this house?
Well, unless I want to go by and look at it, sir, that's what I'm here for.
You haven't looked at it yet?
Not yet, no.
So you don't have any firsthand knowledge whether or not it meets the state threshold of 50% or higher?
Not what I want to look at.
You have not looked at it?
And then I want to get a report of what the damage that you all picked up on that house.
Have you, when were you contacted by the family members to get involved in this case?
Last week.
Last week?
Yeah.
Okay.
I was up in Atlanta with a problem on myself.
Okay.
Okay.
Appreciate it. Thanks. Thank you.
Thank you all.
Thank you. Thank you. Well, is Ms. Pinkston or you was?
I'm Kathy.
Okay, are you Kathy? Okay, I would like to talk with you a moment or two, so if I could get your name and address for the record and.
Okay, my name is Kathy Pinkston, and my address is 3315 Southeast 73rd Street, Ocala.
Please raise your right hand. Do you swear or affirm that the evidence you give today will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay, Ms. Pinkston, I'll hear anything you want to tell me as well.
Well, the gentleman pretty much said it all. We really wasn't sure what we wanted to do, whether we wanted to get it demolished or fixed up. Mm-hmm. After my mom passed, we still didn't know. But
sure.
We have a will, and we realized that my sister, Candace, will be the person who will take over that. And
okay, she's the personal representative in the will?
Yes, she's the one who's supposed to, who is willed too. And she wants to keep it. So we were looking for someone to help us out. And we finally reached this gentleman.
Okay.
And we just would like some more time.
Okay.
So we can, you know, and he can look at it and make sure we can get it fixed up or whatever.
Okay, let me ask a procedural question from you here. Is this going to be a summary administration probate or a full administrative probate? Is somebody going to be appointed as a personal representative or?
Well, at this point, you know, we've taken the will to the attorney.
Okay.
And I will be the personal representative.
Okay.
He said that it would take about 3 months or so for the property to be changed into Candace's name.
Okay, for the estate to run its course and it to come out at the other end of the state. Okay, did he happen to mention whether he's doing a summary, what's known as a summary administration or a full administration?
No.
He didn't. Okay. Do you know if he's filed the paperwork?
Yes, he said he was going to file the paperwork.
Let's see if I can't find him. Mr. Rich, you can possibly answer this question for me, which I don't happen to know. If they're gonna go pull, I understand why nobody can pull a permit at the moment.
A contractor probably could pull a permit.
Okay, without the owner?
Yes, sir.
Will the city let a personal representative pull a permit?
In this situation, I believe that they would allow that.
Okay. It doesn't look. Well, let's make sure. And it's Maxi. Here we go. There's an open probate.
The city's more geared towards who's pulling the permit versus, you know, a contractor. What they really want would need to have a pull permit due to the fact that there's three trades involved here, plumbing, electrical, and structural.
Well, but I believe, unless I'm wrong, I mean, an owner can pull a permit and hire licensed folks to do the work.
If that owner was going to live in the home,
mm-hmm.
That is correct. Or the owner could do, you know, an owner builder.
It does appear that they have applied in a fairly, it does, okay, let's see. And Judge Robbins is pretty on top of it, so let's see. Oath, oath, oath. Okay. And if I understand correctly, the petitioner, you're looking for, you're just looking for some more time within which to evaluate, one, what to do, and then to pull the right permits with which to do it.
Yeah.
And that's you, Ms. Pinkston, as the personal representative of the estate.
Once you become.
Okay. Mr. Rich, I gather the city's position is that you appreciate what they've done so far. They've paid the fine.
And we're willing to allow for some reasonable amount of time.
Okay.
I believe we could have gotten further along in this process than we have at this point, mm-hmm. had they gotten someone involved a little bit sooner than waiting till the last week to get someone involved. And I want to make sure that they understand that additional time means, you know, you need to be making progress towards resolving the issues at hand, and not just to,
Okay, understand.
So
well,
I mean, some reasonable amount of time between 60 days and that additional 60 days would be available to the city.
Okay. Well, if the gentleman who's the contractor, can you come back up for a second? I'm sorry, I didn't quite catch the name. What I would suggest or propose is well, I do want to commend you for getting the place cleaned up.
Yes.
I mean, I know your mother passed away just over a month and a half ago. You have expeditiously gotten this to an attorney. In reality, he's filed. You're moving the steps to doing the right thing to transfer the property in your name. So, I mean, I understand the city's concerns. This has been going on for quite some time before it got to this point. But it does appear that you are, to me at least, taking very active steps to move forward in the process. Mr. Rich's concern is that he doesn't want to let this out, you know, through another 90 days or so. You'll be appointed the personal representative in fairly short order, probably within the next 15, 20 days. Once you're appointed and have letters of administration, as Mr. Richards can tell you, according to the city, you can go and pull whatever necessary permits as the personal representative of the estate.
Mm-hmm.
Is that correct? Am I missing something
then
here?
General contracting would be able to pull it.
Okay, but as an owner builder, could the personal representative
yes.
do the same? I mean,
that's
I don't.
My understanding of the code.
Okay, I don't want to preclude your right to use this gentleman here, who's a family member and who can then supervise some licensed individuals to do the work. And you know, save you some money for a contractor so that you can do it yourself as an owner builder. I mean, obviously you have to hire licensed folks and get it inspected and everything else going on down there. So do you think you guys could make your evaluation in the next 60 days and pull a permit?
I'm pretty sure, sir.
Yes.
I want to look at the building and then I want to make a decision whether, as this gentleman spoke, whether the bill is stable enough to be remodeled.
Sure.
And that is my reason. I want to go by and look at it. I've heard some statement about termites and so forth. So if we got termites in it, then we have to consider how bad the termites is in there, you see, and all that flow joints and so forth. I may have to be torn out, and if the house sealed and rot it out and all that make a big difference, and I don't know yet until we look at it, you see.
No, I understand that. And I understand you have a procedural problem at the moment that
yes,
you don't have the letters of administration to give the city.
Appreciate everything, and
so
what I understand is very understandable, and we have to do our job and keep it up to date, you see. And I will go by and check it out, and I can make a decision on how we're going about it with it.
Okay. What I will do is, and I believe, Ms. Rich, you said 60 days would be acceptable to the city.
We would allow another rollover of the previous order, essentially allowing them an additional 60 days to do the permitting or to do the demolition.
Okay, okay, all right, well.
Of course, once they get a permit, they've got plenty of time.
They've got plenty of time, right.
They'll have 6 months in order to call for an inspection, what have you.
Okay, and if they decide to pull a demolition permit, then, you know.
Then we'd like it done within the 60 days, cleaned up.
And then if they don't have the money, if it needs to be demolition, I get the fire department, bring it down.
Yeah.
Well, they probably won't do that because on some of the age structures, they have to get out of them now because the state's requiring asbestos testing and a lot of other requirements that does not allow them to take an active role in burn downs. But if we could get it cleaned up within the 60 days or the decision made to remodel or rehab it, that'd be fantastic. I mean, the city would be thrilled with that.
Okay.
Particularly if this other lady here is interested in moving into the home.
Okay. Okay. Well, what I'll do is and you said there has been a fine that's accrued.
Yes, sir. The fine is accruing because of the delay in taking action on the single charge.
Sure.
Of 182.
Okay. Okay. Well, what I would propose to do then is to.
But of course, they could petition for a reduction of that.
Right. Oh, that's not in this petition.
No, sir. They could petition for a reduction of that fine upon completion, and the city would probably reduce it to zero if they can make a decision and get it rolling.
Okay. Well, I'm just trying to think through this. Okay.
And
so,
the
fine would toll at the point. If I go back and amend the order, I'm just procedurally thinking along here.
Well, I think what you would be looking at would be giving them a time extension, exactly what they're requesting for, and that's exactly what's authorized in law.
Okay.
According to, based upon their forward progress and based upon the fact that they have made progress,
sure.
And I've represented to the magistrate that they have made progress, then you could extend their time frame.
And if I extend their time frame, then does the fine kick in or not? That's
so the fine continues to run, and then they would petition for a reduction of that upon that time that they complete. Well, no, if you extend it.
Yeah, if I extend it, yeah.
No, if you extend it, you're going to be extending from their deadline date.
So then the fine would not.
No.
Okay, I just wanted to clarify that so we all knew where we were standing on that. That's okay.
You got me confused.
No, I was getting myself confused. Okay. So what I will do is give you an additional 60 days, okay, within which to go and pull a permit, a demolition permit or a building permit, okay? And then if you pull a building permit, I think you get 180 days.
To call for a first inspection.
To call for a first inspection. And if you pull a demolition permit, I'll give you 15 days. So 75 days from today, we need the structure demolished, okay, if you're going to demolish it. Okay, give you 60 days to pull the permit, then it gives you 2 weeks to get it raised and done and cleaned up. I mean, you could pull the demo permit earlier than 60 days from today if you get out there and say, oh yeah, this thing is done or whatsoever. But I want to give you enough time because it will take a few days to get your letters of administration and everything back, and I want to give you enough time to work through that whole process with the city so you can get the right permits and stuff. Okay? All right. And so I guess that's how I will grant your petition.
That's what it's being granted, a time extension of 60 days and 75 days to have the demolition completed.
Okay. So we shall appreciate that.
Okay. Okay, right, guys. Right. And well, we do appreciate you and
yes,
keep working for it. Sounds like you're moving reasonably expeditiously.
If I wasn't moving much sooner, that would have been resolved already, but I guess my department is
here. Sure.
Appreciate it again. Very, very kind.
Okay.
And very good of you all.
All right. Thank you.
Okay. structure needs.
Thank you, sir.
Good luck to you.
Thank you, guys.
Yes, sir.
Okay, if I can reconnoiter here. So that would bring us up to the beginning of the agenda. Note that there are no other people present to speak to the magistrate today. Case COM 11-1575. I'm sorry, 1578. In this case, the City of Ocala, Officer Lorraine Kennedy versus Jennifer Walton and Brian C. Walton and BAC Home Loan Servicing. This is a case location at 2215 Northeast 8th Street, Ocala, Marion County, Florida. They have a violation of section 3432, and I believe that's the only remaining violation, Officer Kennedy.
Chip, I'm sorry. I've managed to lose all the cases.
Okay.
She can I don't know what I've done.
You probably closed one box too many.
I probably did. I was trying to move my way out. What did I?
Shortcut.
Okay. Oh, okay, great. I'm there. Thanks. Sorry.
No problem. Not wait for her to get set back up. We have one remaining violation at this location. That's a violation of section 3432, water collections. The parcel ID is 2830-014-017. Legal service was obtained 6/16 and 17 of 2011 for the NOV and 6/30 and 7/1 2011 for the NOH for both the bank and the agent. We posted the property on 6/13/2011 for the NOV and 6/27/2011 for the notice of hearing. As additional correspondence, we've included a copy of the list pendants and a SunBiz report. And the summary of findings that Officer Lorraine Kennedy located this property found it in violation of the city's code as stated. Additional investigation revealed the property is in foreclosure, and Officer Kennedy added the bank information to the case and noticed the bank as a respondent as well. Efforts by Officer Kennedy did achieve getting the grass cut. However, it has become overgrown again and then was cut again. And the it's not a pool, but a pond has not been remedied. All additional attempts by Officer Kennedy to have the respondent remedy the violation have been unsuccessful, and the violation remains. Staff recommendation be find the respondent guilty of violating code section, and I'm amending it here due to some compliance that they achieved.
Okay.
But it would be to find the respondent guilty of violating code section 3432, and order them to drain or treat and clean all standing water collections upon the property. Pay the administrative costs of prosecution of the case as assessed with all within 14 days, failing which a fine of $25 per day, and the city to do the work utilizing all means required with all costs and fines assessed as a lien. After 90 days of non-payment, refer to the city attorney's office for consideration of foreclosure.
Okay. Officer Kennedy, this is how you found this property and these photographs inside of it?
Yes, I did.
Okay. I'll find the violation and adopt the city's recommendation as amended here today. Mm-hmm. Looks like there might be a realtor. Nichols Realty?
I'm not familiar with whether or not the realtor is involved now or not, because BAC just registered the property 6 months ago or something, and they haven't contacted us.
Sometimes
get it goes through Rio.
Yeah,
and it's on again, off again, and.
Yeah, some realtors get more success getting the banks to clean these things up than others,
yes.
That's for sure.
Yeah, that's true.
And some can get them to, instead of cutting every 2 weeks or so, get them to cut a little more frequent in the summer. So.
Yes, sir. That would bring us to the next case on the agenda, COM 11-1581. That's a case involving Officer Lorraine Kennedy, the City of Ocala versus Olive Hefner and Kari Colon and Credit Suisse Bank. It's a case location at 1209 Northeast 12th Avenue, Ocala, Marion County, Florida. The only remaining violation here is a violation of Section 34141 through 145, the definition and requirement for registration of properties in foreclosure. The parcel ID is 2611-000-008. Legal service was obtained on 7/19/2011 for the NOV and the NOH with the agent and the bank. And we posted the property on 7/15/2011 for the NOV and the NOH. Additional correspondence included is a copy of a Les Penance, a final judgment, an email from the bank, and a SunBiz report. And we would require property registration in this case. The summary of findings are that Officer Lorraine Kennedy located this property and found it in violation of the city's code. Additional investigation revealed that the property is in foreclosure, and Officer Kennedy added the bank information to the case and noticed the bank as a respondent as well. Efforts by Officer Kennedy achieved getting the building secured. However, it has not been registered by either bank. We point out that we've been working this case for a little while here, and one bank apparently has sold it over to another bank, which is not uncommon. We're finding this is starting to happen quite a bit. All additional attempts by Officer Kennedy to have the respondents remedy the violation have been unsuccessful, and the violation remains. We do have a staff recommendation here to find the respondent guilty of violating Code Section 34141 through 145, order them to register the property as required by the Property Registration and Maintenance Ordinance, pay the administrative costs of prosecution of the case as assessed, all within 14 days, failing which a fine of $50 per day and any unpaid fine to accrue and result as a lien against the property. After 90 days of non-payment, refer to the city attorney's office for consideration of foreclosure.
Okay, and the bank hasn't registered the property?
No, sir.
Okay.
We did have information of the new bank, which we also informed them of their requirements.
Okay. Well, then I will adopt the city's recommendation and order the same.
That'll bring us to the next case on the agenda, COM 11-1659, a case involving Officer Lorraine Kennedy, the City of Ocala versus the estate of Marissa A. Young and Bank of America Corporation. A case location at 207 Northeast 11th Avenue, Ocala, Marion County, Florida, violation of Section 3495, weeds, accumulation of trash and other unsightly, unsanitary matter, and Section 34141 through 145, the definition and requirement for registration and maintenance of properties in foreclosure. The parcel ID is 2834-002-105. Legal service was obtained on 6/29/2011 for a notice of hearing for the bank, agent, and the respondent, and we posted the property on 6/29/2011 for the notice of hearing. We did not send a notice of violation in this case. It went straight to a notice of hearing because we were pursuing this case as a repeat violator. For additional correspondence, we've included a copy of the Les Penance and the SunBiz report, and on page I'm going to go straight to the previous findings of fact for you. On page 6, we've included a copy of the previous findings of fact, which was signed on the 16th of August, 2010, and a copy of the partial affidavit of compliance where the property was brought into compliance. However, they did not pay the cost of prosecution at that time. The summary of findings that Officer Ryan Kennedy located this property and found it in violation of the city's code. Additional investigation revealed the property is in foreclosure. Officer Kennedy added the bank information to the case and noticed the bank as a respondent as well. All attempts by Officer Kennedy to have the respondents remedy the violation have been unsuccessful and the violation remains. Additionally, in your presentation, we've included pictures at the end of your presentation that accurately reflect the condition of the property as observed by Officer Kennedy on the date as indicated on the timestamp of the photograph. Officer Kennedy is prepared to testify to the authenticity of these photographs, and staff has a recommendation.
Okay. So, Officer Kennedy, this is how the property was, and these violations exist?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
We're all pretty familiar with this house.
I think I drive by it regularly.
Yeah, it's a shame they're letting it go. Staff recommendation be find respondent guilty of violating section 3495 and 34141 through 145 as a repeat violator per chapter 16204 of Florida statutes for code section 3495. Order the respondents to 1, cut and clean up their property, properly removing any junk and debris, and 2, register the property as required by the property registration and maintenance ordinance. 3, pay, there's one additional and in there, apologize for that. Pay the administrative costs of prosecution of the case as assessed all within 14 days, failing which a fine of $500 per day, and the city to complete the work utilizing any means required with all costs assessed as a fine and lien. After 90 days of non-payment, refer to the city attorney's office for consideration of foreclosure.
Okay, I'll adopt the city's recommendation.
Bring us to the next case on the agenda. We've taken care of 1319, so that's going to be COM 11-1320. Case involving Officer Dan Baker, City of Ocala Code Enforcement Division, City of Ocala versus Tony Tanner Funeral Service. Julie F. Polk is the living trust as the owner of the building. However, the city is pursuing just the business operation at this location. The location is 127 Northwest 20th Street, Ocala, Marion County, Florida, violation of section 6261, levy, 6262, tax certificate required, 6266, delinquency penalties for engaging in business without a certificate, and 6278, tax constitutes debt to the city. The parcel ID is 25265-000-00. Legal service was obtained by all parties on 6-1-2011 for the NOV and 6-22-2011 for the notice of hearing. We posted the property on 6-17-2011 for the notice of hearing. Additional correspondence in the case is a copy of the SunBiz report and a copy of the utilities report indicating that the utilities are still in the Tony Tanner Funeral Service and still activated at the location. We would require a business tax certificate as part of the license requirements. The summary of findings that Officer Dan Baker received this complaint from the one-stop permitting section of the city advising this business is operating without the required business tax certificate. Officer Baker responded to the business location, observed there is doing business at the location, left word for them to contact him concerning this incident. Several other contacts have been made, and we have included a copy of the license detail report in your presentation at the end in inspector's notes. All attempts by Officer Baker to have the respondent remedy this violation have been unsuccessful and the violation remains. The staff recommendation would be to find the respondent guilty of violating City Code Section 6261, 6262, 6266, and 6278. Order for them to 1, pay all delinquent business tax due, $343.75, to the city at the one-stop permit center of the city of Ocala, and pay the administrative cost of prosecution of the case as assessed within 10 days, failing which all fine costs and fines are assessed as a lien. After 90 days of non-payment, refer to the city attorney's office for consideration of foreclosure. Officer Baker is present if you have any questions of him.
Okay. And Officer Baker, there's an operating business at this location and they don't have a certificate?
That would be correct.
Okay. Okay, then I will find them guilty and adopt the city's recommendation.
That brings the next case on the agenda, COM 11-1428. This is a case involving Officer Dan Baker, the City of Ocala Code Enforcement Division. City of Ocala versus Scroll Cuts and Beauty. A location within this, and John A. Samuels Trust as the owner of the building. A location within the city at 723 Northwest Martin Luther King Avenue, Ocala, Marion County, Florida. Violation of 6261 levy and 6262 tax certificate required. The parcel ID is 25668-000-00. Legal service was obtained on 6-9-2011 for the NOV and 6-17-2011 for the notice of hearing. We posted the property on 6/17/2011 for the notice of hearing, and as a copy or as a requirement, we will require them to obtain their business tax certificate. We have included photographs of the business location at the end of your presentation here. And the summary of findings are that Officer Dan Baker received this complaint from the one-stop permitting section of the city advising this business is operating without the required business tax certificate. Officer Baker responded to the business location and observed they are in business at the location and left word for them to contact him concerning this incident. All attempts by Officer Baker to have the respondent remedy the violation have been unsuccessful and the violation remains. I would point out that this business is not registered with the Secretary of the State, therefore we were not able to provide the magistrate with that information. The staff recommendation would be to find the respondent guilty of violating City Code Section 6261 and 6262 and order them to pay the delinquent business tax due of $35 to the city at the one-stop permit center of the city of Ocala and pay the administrative cost of prosecution of the case as assessed within 10 days, failing which all costs and fines are assessed as a lien. After 90 days of non-payment, refer to the city attorney's office for consideration of foreclosure, and Officer Baker is prepared to answer questions in this case.
Okay. Now, this is a failure. You're looking for scroll cuts.
Yes, sir.
And beauty, not Samuel Trustee.
No, sir. He's the owner of the building, so we just naturally include them in notices, let them know what's going on in his property. But this will be against scroll cuts.
Okay, so the foreclosure part of that wouldn't. It would just be for collection.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Officer Baker, there's an operating business at this location?
That would be correct.
Okay, and there's no license for the same?
No.
It goes a little bit further than this. They have paid.
Yes, sir. This one is actually, it's a no-brainer. The people opened the business, they came to the city, they submitted their application, they went through the change of occupancy inspection, got everything done, got approved for their license, but will not come down and write the $35 check to pick up the license to hang it on the wall.
Okay, well.
That's where we're at.
All right, well, let's find him guilty and adopt the city's recommendation and hope that gets their attention.
Yes, sir.
Closes that out.
That brings us to the next case on the agenda, COM 11-1513. JCM 308 LLC, a case involving Officer Dan Baker, City of Ocala Code Enforcement Division, the City of Ocala versus that company at the location of 308 Northwest 25th Street. The parcel ID is 25202-000-00. Legal service was obtained on 6/17/2011 for the notice of hearing. And the notice of violation was returned to the city on 6/27/2011, undelivered, unclaimed. We posted the property on 6/1/2011 for the NOV and 6/17/2011 for the NOH. And the summary of findings are that Officer Dan Baker located this property and found it in violation of the city's code. As stated, efforts by Officer Baker to achieve getting some of the violations cleared worked. He was able to get them to do some of the work.
Oh, okay.
However, it is still overgrown and contains junk and debris. All additional attempts by Officer Baker to have the respondent remedy the violation have been unsuccessful. The violation remains. We've included photographs at the end of your presentation, and I believe what you've got them to do. I'll let Officer Baker speak to what he has been able to get achieved here and then what's remaining, and he could also testify to the efficacy of the photographs involved.
Okay. Officer Baker.
Okay, originally we had an open septic tank, open and exposed. Property owner got right on that, got the septic tank crushed, filled full of dirt, got everything smoothed over. We had a vacant abandoned structure. We hired somebody to come in and get the building secure, and we had junk and debris throughout the property. He got everything taken care of except the junk and debris and cut clean of the property.
Okay.
And he didn't do that last because he...
Well, it's my understanding that he's gone camping.
Ah. Okay. Well...
Priorities.
He can always petition if he decides that he can get around to it here shortly. Okay, I'll find him guilty of the violation and and adopt the city's recommendation.
This was Dan's turn to get the funny cases. That'll bring us to the next case on the agenda, COM 11-1424. Case involving Inspector James Vo of the City of Ocala Code Enforcement Division. This is a case of the City of Ocala versus Michael L. Knopf and Allison L. Knopf, for lack of understanding how to properly say that last name, and City Mortgage, Inc. The remaining violations are violations of Section 34-141 and through 145. The case location is 717 Southeast 34th Avenue, Ocala, Marion County, Florida. The violations are for definition and requirement of registration of properties in foreclosure. The parcel ID is 2786-003-003. Legal services obtained on 5/27/2011 for the NOV and 6/30/2011 for the notice of hearing for the respondent, the bank, and the agent. We posted the property on 6/27/2011 for the notice of hearing, and we've included as additional correspondence in the case a copy of the list pendants and the SunBez report. I have included copies of photographs at the end of your presentation in the case file. The summary of findings that Officer James Vo initially responded to this location due to the neighbor's complaint, and upon arrival observed the property in violation of the city's code and that it was overgrown. Additional investigation revealed the property is in foreclosure, and Officer Vo added the bank to the case. Work by Officer Vo enabled the overgrown violation to be cleared up by the respondents. However, the bank has not complied with the registration requirements. All attempts by Officer Vo to have the respondents remedy all violations have not been successful, and one violation of the property registration remains. Staff has a recommendation. Officer Vo can testify if need be. And staff has a recommendation to find the respondent guilty of violating City Code Section 34-141 through 145 and order them to register the property as required by the Property Registration and Maintenance Ordinance and pay the administrative costs of prosecution of the case as assessed within 14 days, pending which a fine of $50 per day and any unpaid fine to accrue and result in a lien against the property. After 90 days of non-payment, refer to the City Attorney's Office for consideration of foreclosure.
And when you say find the respondent guilty, do the NOPS have a way to actually register the property?
No. In this situation, what we've been primarily filing these against is the bank. However, because they're still listed as the property owner through the property appraiser's office, we do notice them as well. Okay. They're going to have to address this at a further date in order to clear it all up.
Okay. I mean,
essentially, they will be able to receive relief through petition, but because they're still registered to the owner, I'm assuming that they could still enter into an agreement with the bank to reclaim the property, even though the foreclosure has been filed.
Right.
So we kind of have to involve everyone.
Okay. Okay. All right. Well, I will adopt the city's recommendation in the matter. And that one. Okay.
That'll bring us to the petition section of the agenda. If you wanted to go there in your presentation screen, the first one is a case involving Officer Lorraine Kennedy, COM 11-0048, and Mr. Lambert has. Glenn M. Lambert has submitted a petition to the city. He received this property through tax deed sale for $8,000 in Tree Haven, Tree Hill Haven. It's a nice piece of property, nice piece of land, all fenced in, got a good deal on tax certificate. However, he bought it with the liens intact. The city's position would be that we would not release the lien or relief of the lien. I've also included a copy of the case cost sheet in your presentation.
So the city.
It's the city's position that we have people that are buying these tax deeds, and then of course they resell them for a tremendous amount, which is fully within their right to do so. However, our position would be that we would collect on our
end. And the tax deed didn't extinguish your lien?
No, sir.
So. What has generally been that generally the city's position on all these sorts of?
We've basically been holding people to the liens. Now there is some situations where there's been $100,000 liens out there where we have reduced them, okay, significantly reduced them. However, on the more minor and lower value liens, we just have not been offering a reduction on them in light of the fact that the way people are acquiring the properties, what have you, and their plans are generally not to move in and live in them, but to turn them over to sell them to someone else. We have another one that we're working on now that, again, they bought it at a tax deed,
and,
you know, wanted relief and what have you, and we just have not been supporting that, and they're already in the market to have a person to close on that particular property and to buy it. So,
okay. Well, I'll deny the petition.
And then we've already handled the case for the petition to request time extension. That was COM 10-1871. That will be coming back up on the non-compliance hearing. So we'll bring that up at that point. The next section was going to be delinquent business tax certificate reduction requests. And the first one will be COM 11-1615, Shoup and Sons Upholstery. And the city would, based upon their petition and the fact that this is the first time that they have not paid their business tax certificate on time, would be to reduce the fine amount of $250 if paid within 10 days. I believe that's consistent with what this magistrate has done in the past,
okay,
and
so that,
what the and what the code board has done as well.
Okay, so that basically, the $250 is the fine currently imposed.
It's the state added fine for going beyond January 31st. An additional $250 is tacked on, and that's what the city is willing to reduce.
Okay, so that leaves them paying what? I'm sorry.
That's going to leave them paying their original business tax certificate amount plus the interest of 10%. For October, November, December, and January. So if we just, in the order, just reduce the $250,
okay,
that'll leave them with the remaining amount.
It reduce the fine by $250 if obtain a...
Within 10 days.
A license within...
Business tax certificate within 10 days.
Okay, that's what I was... I think I always give them 14 days because got to get in the mail from signing here today and everything else.
Okay, so within 14 days.
Okay.
That'll bring us to the next case on the agenda, COM 11-1619, Officer Dwayne Thomas, City of Ocala versus Crown Glass Company of Florida. They have submitted a petition due to internal problems within their corporation. They've been, they neglected to take, to make payment on their business tax certificate. The city would propose the same reduction of $250 of the imposed fine if paid within 14 days.
Do you just send them this, or do you send them a little letter?
We sent them a copy of their approved petition.
Okay.
But you didn't necessarily have to fill them in. If you wanted the secretary to do that for you, she could.
And oh, no, I don't
you
mind.
You can sign them.
I just didn't mind. I just didn't want him not to be able to read it.
A little bit worse than yours.
Yeah, that was my problem. That didn't come out the best way.
It's so. Always going to look better.
Okay, what else do we have?
Do you lollipop?
Just so I make sure I've got the verbiage right on this. For the folks that were here for 1871.
On the petition for the extension of time?
Right.
That would be COM 10-1871.
Right. Okay. Okay, I'm going to approve the petition in order. Or extend the time to obtain permit okay, what I'm going to do, and this is how I'm going to phrase it, Chip, is to extend the time to obtain a permit for an additional 60 days from the date of this order.
Actually, it would be better if you went from the date of the previous order, because that would have been July 18th.
Well, I told him here, standing here today, I'd give him 60 days. So
okay.
Within
I was just trying to alleviate the question of whether or not there would be a fine running from the 18th till today.
Well, but if I extend it, from the 18th, I mean, that would, I mean, if my order is to
extend
the time.
Order.
Yeah,
okay.
Extend the time.
Very good.
To obtain a permit for an additional 60 days from the date of this order, with any demolition to be completed within 75 days of the date of this order. How I just put this, extension of time shall run so that no fines accrue. How's that?
That's good.
Accrue until the expiration of this extension. That sound good?
Yep.
That way, in case anybody, I'm hit by the magic bus, you are, and I know what we were doing. Because they did pay the administrative costs in it.
Yes, sir.
So, gotta give them credit for that.
Yes, sir.
Okay, anything else?
Yes. If we could continue on the agenda to old business.
Sure.
Under the consent agenda for non-compliance hearings, I would respectfully request a motion or an order of the magistrate to accept the cases as stated on the agenda, less COM 10-1871, which was handled by this magistrate previously in the hearing. So that would be COM 110316, COM 110420, COM 110517, COM 110679, COM 110963, COM 111208. I can attest to the magistrate that there is a affidavit of noncompliance attached to the case, that the cases are not in compliance, and would respectfully request the magistrate enter an order to proceed with the previous orders as entered.
So ordered.
I would also point out to the magistrate that we have some additional things that may be coming into your purview. Some of these would be false alarm collection fees.
Okay.
The city had previously entered into a contract with a company to collect those. The city has now canceled that contract, and they'll be coming back to the magistrate hearings for false alarm fees.
Okay.
And
I might require a little bit of education about that, but I'm sure you can provide all I need.
Yes, sir. Essentially, I can give you a little, just a brief summary. The city it gives people an opportunity to have a false alarm. After that opportunity has expired, the city starts charging for them. And over the past few years, we have some fairly reoccurring players in that area. And so we weren't doing a very good job at following the code by collecting the required fees that were associated with false alarms. As you're aware, a false alarm creates a burden on the police department. They're responding all over town to these things due to neglect, error, what have you, but not really due to necessity, due to any kind of a break-in or a robbery. So many years ago, the city adopted in their code, I believe 1996, a false alarm response fee associated with false alarms. That went in, I believe, 2002 to the collection agency, and now the city has taken that back. So those will be proceeding through the magistrate, probably in the near future. What we plan to do is for the finance division to determine who the folks are, which they already know, and to send them a letter indicating that they are in arrears for X amount of false alarm fees and a payment demand. At that time, if they don't answer that, then we'll be opening a case for violation of the false alarm fees code. And we'll give them an opportunity to correct. If they don't correct, then we'll be issuing them a notice of hearing to appear before the magistrate.
Okay.
So that would be item one. Item two would be an appeals process is being developed for parking violations in the city.
Okay.
Currently, parking appeals are handled administratively through the Parks and Recreation Division. And although there may not be a tremendous number of appeals, executive management and the city in general feels that a better process would be an impartial hearing of the facts in this case. Therefore, the parking officers will bring their case. They have a device that records the tag and a photograph and the meter information, what have you, and they'll be presenting their any appeals and their evidence to the magistrate.
Okay.
So two new things for you all to venture into, and okay. I would say that the magistrate process has been met with quite a bit of success within the city, and we realize that it's working well, and we want to promote that process. So
that's great. And I gather you're going to get with the city attorney about what would be necessary for
the proof of the cases relative to the false alarm?
The false alarms, we'll be bringing evidence from the police department or the fire department on when the alarm was, what officer responded, and what the conditions were at the time. They have, both departments have personnel who maintain that information, and we'll be bringing it forward as evidence as required in the case. I believe that's, yes, we have spoken, and we'll continue to enter into dialogue with what the relevant proofs are as required by the code.
Right.
But essentially, we've already kind of determined in the process that it would be these particular clerks who maintain and receive these records from the officers in the field. They would be bringing that forward as evidence of the date and time and the circumstances surrounding the situation which resulted in the false alarm. And having been a culprit of false alarms at my office on North Magnolia, I know that over the years I just paid the bill. But we have some significant out-of-state corporations that have developed over the years significant errors in this, and we want to bring that into alignment.
That's good. That's good. And, I know the city has always generally taken a very rational viewpoint towards those things. I chair the board of the Arnett House, and
yes, sir,
they have their own certain amount of children who pull fire alarms and the rest, and I know the city's always been very accommodating, but
And I think this will actually be better for folks anyways. They'll have an ability, rather than have their credit report dinged or what have you, they'll have the ability to petition the magistrate for mercy or what have you,
right,
and to, you know, and develop whatever other evidence they can bring in to support their cause for why they're having, you know, this situation with false alarms.
Right. So,
having said that, the city would respectfully request an order of the magistrate to accept all testimony, evidence, and presentations into the record.
I so do.
And that's it from the city.
Okay, that's great. And where are we at with stoplights?
Stoplights have been put on a hiatus.
Okay, well, I just thought I would inquire, yes, since you were talking of the new things that were coming. Right. I know initially that was one of the reasons
initially
for the magistrate.
We wanted to have a magistrate prior to that. From our standpoint in code enforcement, we were proposing a magistrate before that time frame. We wanted to have a magistrate on board so that we didn't have to take as many cases per month to one particular to the code enforcement board. We felt this would be a streamlined process, what have you, and it has worked out that way. The we have passed an ordinance that we are capable of doing the traffic lights and what have you, cameras. However, we have not implemented that ordinance, and the one contract that came forward before city council was voted down.
Okay. Well, we'll just keep plugging along. I'll note that I think Judy from my office is starting to get with Carol, because I mean, we're perfectly, you got Thanksgiving and the Christmas holidays in November, December.
We usually do not
Magistrate
hearings at that time frame.
Right. So if you would like to move them, we are more than welcome to move them and those 2 months.
I think we would probably go by our workflow and whether or not we would move them. But during those particular two time frames of the year, we try to be a little more lenient. And if we don't have to have a hearing, we would work that way. But if we need to move it because of the number of cases, what have you, We'll certainly coordinate that with the secretary.
Sure. Okay, great. Well, we'll adjourn. Thank you all.
Thank you very much.